So I sent my new vice principal. Well, I didn't send. I put out a tweet. So this week we're in Waterloo Region. We're going back to school, and both of my administrators, my current principal, my current vice principal, won't be in the building for the first few days, and they've informed the school board, and the school board is needs to staff the building with an administrator. And the administrator they've chosen to put in the building while the other administrators are away is a gentleman who is going to be our new vice principal around February 19th. So a couple of weeks away. And he's never been a vice principal before. He's new to the role. And so at our staff meeting yesterday, the two current principals were saying that they'll have like a Teams meeting open so that they can communicate with him all day, you know, and he can, you know, if something's happening, he can tell them and they can talk to him. And so basically the three of them will be working together virtually. And I kind of laughed because when you and I were on the on-ramp were talking about this, you know, I was like, it'd be cool if he had a pair of smart glasses and he could literally be walking around the building. Well, it was you that said the GoPro idea, but it's like, hey, imagine if he had a wearable. He's in the hall, he's dealing with a situation. And the current principal and vice principal can be communicating with him in real time and seeing what he sees. Be fascinating. Fascinating. So I found a quick smart glasses photo on the internet and tweeted him and them, and I included you. And you know what? It actually brought a smile to my face because I was telling Chris, I'm not feeling so great, and it's not COVID. Like I'm not physically not feeling well. I'm not feeling well mentally. I'm not feeling well emotionally. I'm not sleeping well. So there's that. It brought a smile to my face. So that was a nice way to kind of kick things off on this Saturday morning. And I don't know where else to go, Chris, because I think some of the things we talked about on the on-ramp, I don't want to talk about to the
No,
world. So I'm just saying, like, I know that you and I have started this thing where we hashtag things that we want to talk about on Twitter that then we can refer to on the podcast. So you're good to go if you want to start that up. And if not, that's cool. You've dropped a couple of things. One of them's kind of heavy. The last thing you messaged me around CAS or
yeah, I think.
FNCS is what we call it
Yeah.
here.
What do you call it? Sorry, family. What is it?
FNCS, Family and Children's Services.
Yeah, so it just kind of occurred to me. There was a tweet online. I guess that's where they are. Sorry for the redundancy on that. There was a tweet that I read this morning. I don't know if I actually even tagged the tweet, but it was sort of like a, you know, kind of lighthearted tweets about it was sort of like stories from the virtual classroom kind of a thing, and the statement was something like in air qu like quoting a student from a virtual classroom saying something about, you know, asking their parent to stop swearing so because they're about to go to class, but it's sort of like caught on class. And I think we've all had, so I won't say that. I have definitely had moments in my virtual spaces where you just hear and see things. I think we talked a little bit about this maybe last week as well. I'm having a memory about, oh yeah, last week we're talking about the virtual, how we're all in like the state of virtual field trips now. Like it's sort of a weird thing how things are happening in our virtual teaching spaces that last year we would have had to go through the paperwork of inviting, you know, a guest speaker, an author, or a performer into our classrooms, right? And how sometimes the our virtual classroom spaces can be a little bit about like those. I've actually never done this. What were those Google Hangouts? Not secret Hangouts. What are they called? Where you would kind of connect with another classroom or place, and you ask questions about each other, but you don't say where you are. What is that?
Mystery Skype is how it started. Yeah.
Mystery Skype. And then we had the mystery hangouts, and then it was really trendy, right? To sort of have these mystery spaces to connect our learning spaces. So I feel like right now we're well into, like, we're so beyond, like, no one's going back to mystery Skypes anymore. I don't think. After having spent all this time online, you know, this tweet this morning, though, got me wondering about if there's been an increase in teacher engagement and calls with, you know, whatever would be the local, you know, child protective services. And there isn't a lot of chatter about that on socials, and that's probably a good thing, right? We're gonna choose to protect. But it did get me thinking about that and what we now perceive as the line. What's the line that where we kind of say, oh, you know, that's just how they talk in the family, or that's just you know, that I'm sure that dog isn't so ferocious. You know, are we softening the edges on it at all? It just had me this morning as I was sitting there with my first coffee. It was just something that it hadn't occurred to me. I haven't had a moment in my virtual spaces that has triggered, I would say, even the early distant warning, kind of like I need to pursue this or data track this. I guess I've been fortunate that they've been more lighthearted. One kid did, you know, kind of just go on blast. I think didn't think that the mic was open. There was no, didn't know the hot mic was on there, and just kind of blasted their parent and told them to stop farting because they're about to go into class, but they were already in class and the mic was open. So it's been more lighthearted than that. But yeah, I had that moment this morning thinking about, If teachers, because we're sitting with them in the living, with the families now in the living room, you know, if teachers have been in that position of okay, now I gotta do the call. And also the second layer to that is now we have kind of real-time evidence. If you are recording all of your sessions, you actually do have a recorded version of whatever was going on. And my other layer to that is, I wonder if any teacher has been asked to provide that evidence from the Google Meet, the recorded session, and the transcript of the chat. And I wonder what that meeting looks like, where you now are sort of, you're a credible witness to something that sort of happened in that household. Lots of wondering. My first coffee lit me up this morning.
I hear what you're saying. It's interesting, some of the things I've heard and seen, and this whole business of students being at home doing school, and parent involvement in the meetings. Like, there's this one dad who just seems to always be around. So when his kid asks a question and I respond, sometimes I hear the father then providing knowledge to the child, or like the father's talking to me through the child. And I'm like, I literally laugh. Like, what do you want me to do with that? You know? And strangely enough, it is that child who got himself into a situation the other day, spamming the chat. And it's not the first time this child has made this choice. And I ended up saying to the child, you're doing it again. I've kindly asked you to stop and you continue. So I wasn't recording my session, but I did take screenshots of his messages, of the spam, over, you know, a span of 10 minutes. And I sent it to his parents. I said, this is what's going on. I can't have this happening. Mm-hmm. I've spoken to him about it. We've talked about it. It's not working. But it's interesting, right? And then there's the whole, so I've got a couple of kids for this one particular period in the day. They always come 20 minutes after the period started every day. And I'm like, I just don't understand. But there are layers. They're at home. So something's happening that particular time, right? Every day. And it's more important than school. And because it's at home, it takes precedence. So what? Mm-hmm. There's nothing I can do about that. Mind you, I do have some good jokes ready at that time on Monday. I'm going to have some fun the first couple of times I ask students to participate in the lesson. And they can't. Sorry, that's not fair. Fortunately, there won't be any computer glitches at that time.
Mm.
Right? Fortunately, there won't be, they won't have the opportunity to turn off their camera. Like there won't be any, they're looking at me. Oh, Mr. C, you're asking me a math question? Click. You know, Mr. C, like there won't be any of that. Mm-hmm. There will be, we're here together. Do you remember how to function when we're present together? Because we've now learned a new way of functioning over the past 5 or 6 weeks. This is how you function when you have one of these sitting in front of you and your teacher's on the other end, right? Oh, hey, Joe, nice cat. Click, Joe's gone, right? That happened a lot. And I'm not judging it. I'm just saying that was part of the virtual world. Well, now we're going back to face-to-face. And I need a little bit of a refresher, but I'm also going to have a sense of humor. So the first time I say to Jimmy, hey, Jimmy, I'm going to be asking you, you're going to be the third person to share. So you're going to have two people to listen to, and I'm going to have a scaffold for you here and a model for you here. And I need you to jump in, Jimmy. There's going to be no glitching of computers. There's going to be no turning off your screen. There's going to be no leaving the meet, Jimmy. And I have no problem expressing it that way. This is not a game. This is not a game. Jimmy's going to have a rough go on Monday because Jimmy has gotten used to, just like all of us have our new routines, Jimmy's gotten used to, I don't need this right now. I'm walking away. Well, Jimmy doesn't get to make that choice on Monday. Jimmy's there. And Jimmy's going to have to adapt back to the face-to-face. So that's just one example. I've got a whole list. I wrote it all down. I was writing everything down. I've got a whole list of jokes and things to laugh at around virtual versus face-to-face. They're completely different beasts. You know, I had a meeting yesterday with my mentee. And my mentee said, so tell me, like, how did it go? How did virtual go? And the first thing I said was, you have to remember, I have a relationship with all these kids. I've been face to face with them for 4 months. So switching to the virtual, the relationships are all there. I didn't make any new relationships. Well, that's not true. I made one. I got a new student start, and he started virtually. So on Monday, it's going to be like major for him because he's only ever seen me through a computer, right? Mm-hmm. Now he's going to see me in real life. And now he doesn't get to pick and choose when he comes into the meet. He gets to school at 9:15. He leaves at 3:45. He's part of everything now.
Yep.
Right? So it's very interesting. And I'm looking forward to the reflections on that. And I think my reflections are going to be the only things that keep me sane at this time, because I mentioned this to you and I even tweeted this out. I'm tired, dude. I'm really tired and I'm not feeling good. So for me, I think it's important that I verbalize those things just so that it's not just floating in my head, because floating in my head, I think, is not going to be good for me. But I am tired. And I'm not feeling good. Like, I'm emotionally drained. I'm not sleeping very well. I have a feeling I won't sleep very well tomorrow night. So Monday I'll be a bit of a zombie, but I think everybody's going to be a little bit of a zombie on Monday. I need to go into school this weekend. I'm not comfortable with the plans I left when I left at Christmas. They're obsolete now because I've done 5 weeks of curriculum. So I need to go in on, and I've done 5 weeks of curriculum digitally. So now I need to go in and I need to plan for Monday in an analog format because I can't depend on the digital when I go back to school. So there are some things going on there. I do want to welcome Ramona's in the house. It's always good to see Ramona and have her join us. And I know that Tim's in the house. Thanks for checking us out, Tim. You're probably getting ready for your podcast this morning. Ramona's probably cooking turkeys. I always think of Ramona. I've pegged Ramona as someone who is generous with her time, is charitable. And it always goes back to Ramona cooking the turkeys that she was going to deliver to the people that needed them. So Ramona is probably cooking turkeys right now. it's funny. Tim says, you know, sounds like a good blog post. Well, I don't think it's going to make it to the blog, but hey, it's right here on YouTube. So anybody who wants to go down this road can check out season 4, episode 22 of the Decoded Podcast. And that's what's going on. And yes, look at this. You're getting lots of love, Chris, for Clank Studios. Ramona's welcoming Clank Studios, and Tim's talking about it too.
The students, and even in some staff meetings, they're playing a little bit of like Where's Waldo, sort of me hiding things in the wall behind me. And I'll say, okay, you got to find, I have these ridiculous things. I was using this originally, this character here, and then they would have to find it somewhere hidden in my space. So I put in different spots.
I like that.
Yeah. So, and the kids were actually having fun with that too. So I've been doing that just for fun. They have to try and find, I got to find something that has a little higher contrast though. Right. Mm-hmm. Cause at first I was just like, you got to find Yoda, but like dude's just right over there. So the new space, Tim, I don't even know if Ramona ever saw this before, but I've always had all my own kids' art just kind of up on the walls around me. And I have stuff in front of me here too. It's high distraction, but I also find like, it's like I can take inspiration for the next piece I'm going to work on sometimes in, it's like, you know what it is? It's like a family portfolio around me. Maybe that's how I think, like a family portfolio of work. And welcome to Tim and Ramona. I wanted to go back to one of the things you said about coming back to the classroom. And now that we've been out, what is it, 6 weeks? No, 8 weeks? No, 7 weeks? How long have we been away?
Dude, I don't know.
So 4 in Jan, and then 2, so 6, 7 weeks?
I guess so. That's fair.
Like 7 or 8 weeks we've been away from the classroom. And you and I think back in September, we had at least one or two episodes where we talked about kind of like the impact of post-compassion EDU. So that whether it's a reaction, can you get reactionary as in you're so swept up in self-care that it's kind of hard to see other people, how they're struggling. Like you just have so many blinders on, and that's a little bit of like the caves that we all recessed into sort of this time last year. And everyone was in that mode of not knowing, trying to protect, let's get as much toilet paper as we can, don't go outside. Like we were all in that sort of a little bit of the zombie apocalypse state. And then over the summer, we felt like we were starting to breathe again, kind of reach out again, flex a little bit, still avoiding people, but we're like, okay, masks do it. And then we're paying attention to the numbers and I'm like, masks aren't enough. And then all of a sudden we get to September and there was the stark reality of having to make a transition back to school. And you and I were talking about how, what's the potential, like when we've spent so much time retracting, what's our on-ramp back into social learning again? And I think we got a little bit, I know I got a little bit of taste of where a little bit of that had been taken away. Like I was feeling the joy about being back around the students. I was feeling all that, but there was something, eh? There was something that felt like something just didn't come back the first time. So now we've taken another 7 weeks away. And I've always said that, you know, one of the byproducts of us going into this adaptive learning model is that we're actually building the this strange kind of infrastructure for a third path through school, right? Like we're actually building not the e-learning courses, which were basically, not basically, but in my opinion, were more like digital correspondence courses. And they weren't exactly the blended learning that we thought about when we're all like, yay, flipped classrooms. It's now this kind of hybrid system of the student is still connected to the home school, but learning from home. And I feel all this kind of layering and change and change and change and isolation are really, is disharmonic, disharmonious a word? Yet somehow we're making these pieces work together. But I find now, like coming back together again, I feel like something's going to be left behind. Like, I feel like I'm going to be in the class and I'm just going to have a sense of, because we go back on the 16th. I guess it's tentative, but we're scheduled back on the 16th. A little bit like the Pet Sematary kind of mentality. And I don't mean in the really super dark Stephen King way, but just when you bring back the thing you love, but elements of it can't come back with it. I remember one of the senses that I have, it's quite profound in my day, is that I have a constant sense, like at any moment, when we talked about this before, at any moment we're going to be asked to shut the school down. And it's a little bit like, in some ways, being shell-shocked. I can only imagine, but a little bit like being shell-shocked and just certain noises trigger a stream of thinking that's not, doesn't feel all that great. So I go back in, when I go back into the school, I am going to be really kind of watching for what does it feel like was intentionally left at home or left away from school? Because we've proven teachers, educators, support staff, admin, upper leadership, we've all proven that we can just go click, click, and flip the switch on education. Not in a great way in some places, in an okay in other places, but we've proven that whatever we said, you know, in the beginning, like we could never do this. We could never ever go from face to face to home and be able to do, well, no, we have. So we've been built this infrastructure a little bit of with a hair trigger. And I have this new behavior that every time I'm going to read one of our system emails or memos, that it's going to trigger the, here we go again, we're now leaving school. It's a very strange, almost painful nomadic kind of mindset that we could be asked to leave at any moment. And we've proven we can. So the expectations, where I started with this, the post-compassion, you know, when they told us on the 13th, they let us come back in afterwards. They said, come on back, get the stuff that you need so that you can connect with the kids, so you can do your program planning. I'm putting a tone on it. But it was a way to show compassion in a time that sort of felt kind of dangerous and frightening. But I'm starting to feel that kind of, that pool of compassion is starting to dry up a little bit. Get in here, get back in, get back to work. Get at it. Turnaround times are still turnaround times. Here's the 50 emails. So yeah, what's coming back and what's not coming back, I'll be paying attention to on the 16th.
The way you explained how every time we leave and we come back, something's missing was very interesting to me. That, and I, once you said it, I can kind of feel it. I can kind of make a connection. Every time we leave and come back, it becomes more different. Maybe it is that idea that now that we've done it, and we did it for 6 weeks, 6 weeks of virtual learning, that's a long time. And I told you at the start of this, people are going to start up new routines and new habits will be formed, whether they're good or bad. And it's like, it gives me a feeling for the danger of having to switch back and forth. And that for some people, it's hitting a switch, but it is not just as easy as hitting a switch, right? It's for some, for the people who don't have to do it, it's like, okay, we're going remote. Everybody knows what to do. Get your battle gear on, go to your battle stations, you know what to do. And then it's like, okay, red alert's over. We're going back to face-to-face. We're going back to face-to-face. Take off your battle gear. Well, in this case with COVID, I'm going to be putting battle gear on to go to school. I'm already thinking about, like, I'm going to be wearing a mask. I hate wearing a mask. And I'm going to be wearing my face shield. And I hate wearing the face shield because I'm just going to hear myself talking to myself all day. And I'm going to have a headache by lunch because that's how it used to work. And I'm going to have to ask my students to repeat themselves over and over again because I can't hear them with all that stuff on. And I'm not supposed to be getting close to them. They're not supposed to be getting close to me. And they're not going to have computers for at least the first 3 days of school. So, like, that's a small price that I'm going to have to pay with this pivot. I dislike that word very much now, with the switch back. So, you know, the switch to, and Ramona said, you know, she's, the crazy amount of work she's doing on the nights and weekends is off the charts. And I agree and I understand because it's the same over here for my wife and I. It's like preparing for the virtual has been a nightmare. And it's literally been, there's been no, like, I'm normally a pretty organized guy with that stuff. And there's been no organization. There's been no getting ahead. It's been survival mode for 6 weeks. Do I have ready for tomorrow what I need ready for tomorrow? Yes. Go to bed. Wake up. Do what I planned for the day. Then start planning for the next day and asking that question. Do I have what I need for tomorrow? Yes or no? No, don't go to bed. Yes, you can go to bed now. Hmm. And not to say I've not had, you know, time for myself. I have, right? Like, we're still doing the book club. I would still attend book club. I actually looked forward to it. It was like the shining star for me. I was going to get to hang with a bunch of people that I appreciate and talk about a text that is helping me become a better person. Awesome stuff, right? And, you know, time with my kids and with my wife, but it's all fragmented with, okay, I got to get up and go do work now, right? And I don't think I've heard that from my wife as much in the last 20 years as I have over the last 6 weeks. Okay, I need to get up and go work now. Everything, all the good times are fractured with, I got to get up and I got to go work now. Now, I'm not averse to working. I am averse to working all the time. So, you know, the book club's important, but that's only for an hour a week, right? So there's other times, there's other things. And I was telling you, going back to school on Monday, I'm going to need to go into school this weekend. And not to make things perfect, to survive. I'm not going to school for perfection. I'm going for survival. So think of what that'll look like if I don't go in. So I need to go in for survival purposes, not for thriving purposes. I'm not thriving. I'm trying to survive. And that's just for Monday, because I need to see what happens Monday so that I can adjust for Tuesday. And I'm hoping after Monday and Tuesday that I'm kind of feeling the vibe again of what it's like to be face to face.
I'll be curious to hear what that vibe is. Because that's tapping into what I was talking about. Like, what is the vibe that people are expecting when you say that? When you say that, I'm guessing you have a pretty specific feel, even if you can't articulate exactly what it is. Like, when you call the vibe, you know what you're looking for when you arrive back in the school. But I wonder, you know, if other, you know, what are other people, what's the vibe? Like, what's the remainder of the vibe? Is the vibe similar to the vibe that you were looking for back in September? Is it the vibe that, was it the vibe that you had in your head when, you know, back in May, you were thinking of when you got a chance to go back into the school and you saw what was written on the white erase board? Like, was it that part of the vibe? It's like, what is it that we're craving now? What is it that we're craving in our emotional and social connections with our students, our colleagues, and leadership? And how has that changed? How has that changed going back into the school now? And it's not necessarily that it's not being offered, but I wonder if we've changed how we receive it. Maybe not. That's what my brain's doing to me.
Let me add a layer for you.
Yeah.
A couple of things. So I want to talk about the vibe, because you asked some great questions around the vibe that I took those questions personally, that I want to answer them. Mm-hmm. Ramona says deadlines are still deadlines, and we are going to ask you to do many additional tasks without the time to do them, but we are all in this together. Right, Ramona, 100%, I agree with you that now we go back and the system still expects the system things to be happening regardless of us having to switch virtual face-to-face, like all that switching, all that energy that's been used to make those things happen, right? Those take, that energy drains people. And we're coming back, we're already drained and we're going back drained, but you're right. Deadlines are still deadlines. My IEPs are due to my spec ed teacher on Monday. They're not done. So I need to find more time to do those. My report cards just got handed into my principal yesterday. So that's off my plate for the moment. But the vibe. So for me, Chris, the vibe is whatever, it's going to be the new normal. I don't even know what that looks like because it's going to be new. So
you said you didn't like that. Didn't you say that you're not a fan about that term, the new normal?
I may not be, but I don't know how else to express it at this moment. So am I looking for things to be, am I looking for the kids to be like they were before December 20th? No. I'm looking for Monday morning, we get started. We have a flavor for what the virtual looked like because I did it with them for 6 weeks. As soon as we have computers at our disposal again, hopefully, I pray to God that it happens by Thursday so I can make that part of the new normal. There's still going to be a lot of digital stuff happening. And Joe Marquez and I were talking about this. And I'm actually excited for that component. I'm excited for what I'm calling a beefed up blended learning model. Because I've never done virtual teaching. So now that I did it for 6 weeks hardcore, I'm now going to incorporate some of the really cool things that work there into my face-to-face classroom because I have the experience. I've done it. I know what it feels like. I know what it looks like. I know how much work it was. So now I want to blend the two and I want to do it 2.0. I want it to be hardcore. But I need the tech to do it, right? So for me, really, the vibe is going to be the blended learning 2.0, which I can't start until I have access to devices, which I don't have until the school makes sure that things have been cleaned and those people have time to put things together and send them back up to the classrooms. And I told you this yesterday. Chris and I had a chat, and I basically shared my displeasure with how we're moving again, but we don't have what we need to do the job that we want to do. It's like every time we switch, we don't have what we need to do the job. Again, like that's that flip of the switch, it hurts. It hurts. There's a cost to the back and forth. And more so than ever, I'm concerned about my colleagues. You know, a couple of them, I've heard from a couple of them, and I'm hearing them talk in ways I've never heard them talk before, in ways where they are completely drained. They have nothing left. So what are they going to give on Monday? I don't know. Hopefully they get something from this weekend, right? I know, like, I'm looking to get some this weekend. So the Super Bowl, I enjoy football. I will watch it. But the laptop will be in front of me, and I will be creating and thinking. It's not going to stop. It can't stop because I need to survive Monday. My wife and I were talking about this yesterday. She's going to be going into school as well this weekend. And, you know, I just said to her, like, I need to open my day book, and I need to use it as, like, the starting point for where do I go? How do I do this? Where do I start? I've covered, you know, 1.5. I know we don't talk about math like this anymore, but I've covered, like, I'm almost done 2 strands of math from virtual, all digital, right? No analog at all. So when I go back, and here's the other thing too, just because I'm face to face doesn't mean kids can get up and go to another room and talk to each other and touch all the manipulatives in my classroom. No, we go back to, you don't touch anything that's not yours. Stay in your seat and don't move. You're not even, I can't get them. I can't get them a meter apart. I don't have enough space in my room. So they're separated. But I'm like, don't get up and move. Put your mask back on. Like, so just because I'm going back to face to face, I don't think it's going to be, well, the planning's still difficult, but it's different and I've done it. So hopefully I've built some capacity. So I'm not going to be planning like I did for the virtual every day. But I got to remember, oh, yeah, you still can't touch anything in the room. You still can't get up and leave your desk. You can only go use the bathroom at certain times. You still have to separate yourselves in the hallway when we're getting ready for recess. Like, all that stuff is coming back. And with all that stuff coming back is the exhaustion of what it feels like to do it. And because my school had some issues over the last 2 weeks, there are some stricter guidelines for us to follow. And I don't even know where to begin with those stricter guidelines, because I thought the guidelines were pretty strict before Christmas. I don't know. So vibe, whatever we get comfortable with and start doing on a regular basis, building those new routines and habits. Like I told you, I've got a kid in my class doesn't speak English, brand new to the school. His only experience of school in this country has been turning one of these things on and coming into a meeting where he gets to hear me talk to the kids. He gets to hear the kids talk to me. And sometimes he sees a screen full of work that he has no idea what it is. That's his experience. Well, come Monday, his new experience is taking a school bus, wearing a mask all day, and sitting in his desk all day when he's not outside. That's going to be his new experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I already know, you know, I'm going to have my mask on. I'm going to have my shield on. I'm going to have to listen to me talk times 10. And I'm going to have to raise my voice so that everybody in the room can hear me when I'm sitting at the computer using a digital resource to do some of the work, some of my teaching. So that's the shift, and that's the vibe's going to take a while, I think. It's going to take a little bit. And just thinking about it is exhausting. And I'm already exhausted.
Hmm. I met a couple teachers that have said that teaching at virtual school has been the most amazing teaching experience of their career so far. Both of them that I talked, but the two that said this are kind of, you know, somewhere in the 15 to 20 year range in their career. It was interesting to me. It was out of the blue. It wasn't solicited. I wasn't asking them how their experience was. They just managed to work in another conversation. It's food for thought. I think that when some of the conversations I've heard kind of bubbling up are now that this sort of virtual infrastructure has been built, it's highly likely that there are students that are going to say, we want this. So right now here's the versions, right? We've got the one that like you and I are sort of doing where we're going back into the school. Sorry, the one that you're doing where you're back in the school. And then you got the one that I'm doing where I'm back in the school for part of the day and then I'm doing virtual in the afternoon. And then there's this third version where the students are enrolled in the home school, but they're not coming in for their face-to-face sessions. They're only doing the stuff that their home school is posting to the digital classrooms. They'll participate in the virtual classroom part of it, but they're never going to come into the face-to-face in the school. And then you've got the virtual school, which is not the home school. It's a entirely different school altogether. And we still have the e-learning and we still have continuing ed. So it's interesting that we're adding these extra branches. It's interesting to me because, I don't know, the one ring to rule them all kind of a thing. I'm wondering there you go. Bring it up, buddy. There
every
we go.
Time, every time you say it, I think
there it is.
White gold ring.
There it is. The one to rule them all.
I should have Gollum sitting here.
Gollum and
Grogu sitting
there. Grogu, yeah. Yeah, nice. Get yourself Groot right beside them, baby Groot, and you have your three G's, the three OGs. So when it pops up again in September, because I haven't been in the conversation, but I've also heard of other teachers saying that they've figured it out. They feel like they figured it out how to do the virtual teaching and they're really digging doing the virtual teaching. So, you know, when I think about September, I wonder if it will be, okay, so here's the thing that I wonder. When they open up for tender, so I do believe our virtual school will stay. Hands down, I think it'll stay. Second layer to that is that when they're taking names for virtual school, will they consider the individuals that did virtual school just as a frame to be more experienced than new teachers saying that they want to come in and do virtual school? Or will it just be open tender, as in you apply? I don't know what the interview process would look like, but you know, when you're sort of putting your resume together, is that something that they would say, oh, cool, like you do have all qualifications are equal, but you did do virtual school last year, so you're more qualified. That's what I was wondering about. Because I think that there's some spin going on out there that's starting to emerge in the same way it did at when we first, you know, late March last year, everyone was like, everyone was very in the dark, very dark space about how can this be happening? There's no way we can flip. This is terrible. And then one or two people kind of pop their heads up and say, okay, if it's going to be terrible, then, excuse me, we accept that it's terrible, but we're going to work together here. We're going to try and figure it out. And then the next layer was, I figured this out. So no one's asking them. I figured this out. Check out the things that I've made, to the point where we made it to the end of the school year. And it's like, woo, hands up in the air. So kind of by the end of it, you know, even over a summer session, you had people out in the open just kind of saying, this is how you do virtual school. And people are doing their high fives like, yes, we can do this. And it's not, this is kind of part of that post-compassion EDU thing I was talking about, but this is the curve, right? The initial sting of it, then you get used to it. You go through your grieving process, you come out on the other side and you have acceptance. So acceptance is starting to look kind of interesting, because acceptance is not just acceptance of how we've been sort of changed, or in some people say harmed, but the acceptance is in people are getting on board. They're actually getting on board with this. And I can't say for sure in September that I won't consider it. I don't know me in September yet. I can only say right now, I'm really digging where I'm teaching. I'm digging the people and the kids, the leadership, support staff. I'm really enjoying my experience at my new school. But when they open it up into, you know, onto our portal and say, hey, who wants to come to SVS, Secondary Virtual School? I think there's going to be a lot more people knocking on that door. Maybe not all of them because of pandemic panic. There might actually just be people saying, in the same way some students, like this system has really benefited them. Hey, we're all the same humans in the building, right? Some of the teachers might also be saying, you know what? This was the best. This is the best for me. It's the best for me to sort of teach this way.
It's funny that you would drop that, because now that I've done this for 6 weeks and I've survived, I wonder if I would rather do it, teach virtually, than to go in face to face. And I know how much work it's been, but the work I'm putting in now is all being saved, right? So like when I need to talk to students about a particular math concept, I already have a framework built that will help me deliver that curriculum and have an idea of how to work with the students, right? Because right now it's all about creation. And here's the thing. I love that people share their stuff. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you spend more time looking through somebody else's stuff to see if it fits your needs, when you could have spent less time creating what you needed and having exactly what you need for the kids sitting in front of you. Mm-hmm. So I'm not opposed to people sharing their stuff. I'm just like, can we all stop and think here for a minute? Unless you can actually give me exactly what I need, I'm not looking through your stuff. So like, again, yesterday when I was meeting, doing the NTIP meeting, I shared my screen and showed the two different math frameworks for the strands that I kind of created. And I was told, that's exactly what we do. And I'm like, awesome. So I said, if you want this from me, you can have it. Because what it might do is it might give you little tidbits here and there, little nuggets that you can use around the same idea, the same concepts of math. Mm-hmm. They're not like, I need something now, give it to me. They're like, yeah, we've built a ton of stuff already. And I'm like, wicked. Just like now I'm building stuff. So if I'm going to build that capacity and that fluency, and I'm going to, when I have devices in my class, hope to go to a more blended learning model, then what's stopping me from teaching virtually?
Can you answer that?
Yeah, it's a
family. So what is stopping you?
It's a family decision. It's being okay with the unknowns. Like, I love teaching primary. Am I going to get to teach primary in the virtual school, or are they going to say, no, you have to teach intermediate? Mm-hmm. I'd like some say over where I teach. Just like when you transfer schools, they always tell you you're not necessarily transferring to the grade, you're transferring to the school. Mm-hmm. But I think it's pretty nice of principals to tell you, you applied for the grade 3 position, I'd like to keep you there. Or, you know, you end up in a 4 or a 2, but you don't go from 3 to 8. So things like that, I need to consider. I like my admin team at my school where I'm currently at. So it's good to work with leaders that you respect and I can learn from. Mm-hmm. I think if I go virtual, I'm going to lose that. Yeah. But I hate wearing a mask. And I hate having a headache a couple of hours after I start my work day. Nothing's perfect. Nothing's perfect. But you got to choose the lesser of two evils, I guess. And everybody has to make that choice for themselves. And I don't think our virtual school is going away. I don't think anybody's virtual school is going away. I think they're here to stay.
I think what we're going to see is when the board officially, and I don't know how this happens or when this happens, but when the board feels comfortable enough to talk about their virtual school in a separate conversation from when they can talk about virtual school as a viable path to assist with student success, as opposed to a safety measure to reduce congregation. That'll be when we'll see some interesting change. I think right now it's still the decisions are made. Like when the decisions about virtual school are no longer dictated by the health unit information we get. That'll be the pivot point. And we'll start to see what virtual school ultimately will become. Because right now I feel like it's still a reaction to COVID. It's still a reaction to COVID. It's shifting into permanence, but it's still connected with that, I think.
I agree that right now it's a measure to continue educating people, but it's not, it's got all kinds of, it's a sketch, right? By no means is it a full figured plan that's been worked through. It is pay as you go right now. Yeah. And you're right. I don't think it's leaving. So like once COVID is under control and we start to move into a time of prosper rather than where we're at now, I think then, yeah, those innovators who started these virtual places will have time to have conversation and discussion and brain tank type work to fill in the gaps and make it more about education rather than a reaction to this pandemic in order mm-hmm. to keep kids in the loop school-wise. 100% I agree.
So that's I had a moment thinking that you and I will be doing a food crawl this summer.
What, full masks and face shields? And then when we eat, we'll put a piece of plastic between us so that we're eating our food and you're standing on one side and I'm standing on the other.
Yeah, BYOP. Bring your own plexi.
We'll be... Actually, I'm going to write that down. Bring your own plexi. That could be the title of this podcast.
Yeah, BYOP.
Or we're 2 meters apart as we talk and eat.
That's what we did last year, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's true. We were not close at all.
No, just sat. We were fortunate. We were able to sit outside everywhere. It was summer. A great day. Yeah, summer style. So we'll be back into the food crawl. I think.
I don't know, bro. And now I've got my beard tarp. So I don't have to wear a mask. I can wear it. Well, it is a mask, but it's not the mask that hurts my ears or whatever. Right. I love it. I love my beard tarp.
I haven't invested yet. I have no beard tarp.
I'm so not looking forward to putting a mask on Monday. Not mm-hmm. looking forward to it all.
What else you got, dude?
I got nothing. This is it. Is this season 4, episode 22 of Decoded Podcast?
I think so.
It was good to chat. It was
good. Yeah, to absolutely. Sure. I don't know. Oh. I don't know. I know. I'm doing like Skulls and Roses. Yeah, I don't know what I'm thinking.
The deal there is it reminds me of stoicism. Is it coming from that place or what?
Could be. I don't know. Sometimes I get on a curve and I say to myself, hey, I wonder if I can draw that. So I just start to draw it. And then I feel like I got to adorn it and do, I don't know, Skulls and Roses. Episode 22, season 4. He's Roland Chidiac. I get to be Chris Clough. That's it. It's Saturday.
That's it. Thanks to Ramona for checking us out, and Tim. And we did have a third viewer, an unknown third viewer. Thanks for checking us out. Yeah.
Can I drop a thing? I'll say it. Okay, so I don't know if I'm springing this, but here's the thing. I've opened up a Redbubble account. Redbubble's a little bit like Etsy, except the art that's there, you can put it on stuff. It'll do it for you and ship it. So I told you, I'm slowly scanning the images from our pod, 4 years of images. So just to mention, some of those things might be up there. And you and I talked about this just a little, and I'm thinking profits from any decoded stuff that people buy, we just push it towards, I split with you 50-50, whatever it is. Mine, I'm thinking I'm going towards multiple myeloma of Canada. So for cancer research, it is the cancer that, that was part of the complications that when my father died, he did have that particular cancer. You had dropped the wisdom about your positive connection with Ronald McDonald House. So if you're still lit up about that, if people do decide to buy any decoded swag, they decide they want to do that, we push those funds that way. Pro-social, conscious kind of a thing.
Are you actually on Redbubble right now?
I am.
Oh, so if I'm on the site, do I just type in your name and you?
Yep.
And do you have a name for your store, or is it just
like what you see on the screen right now, Chris J. Clough?
It's actually, I'm waiting for you didn't pop up at all. So let me try that again. Chris J. Clough.
No spaces.
No spaces. Well, that's important to know, Christopher.
Did you put spaces?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. No spaces.
Chris J. Clough, you shop. This is kind of cool. Oh, I like it.
It's kind of neat. It is kind of neat if people want to go there. I have to give props to who told me about this. Jen Mack Brown. I think maybe one of her daughters has done some art stuff and has posted that up on there. So I first heard about it there. Deb Donsky has her art pieces on there as well. So, you know, part of it is right now it's kind of convenient to put stuff there because the website does all the work for you. Well, I got to create my pieces, but you know, people can kind of order what they want those pieces to be put on, I guess.
That's really cool because it's funny. So you've got your watercolor.
Yeah.
And then it's neat to see that they can, if I want it on a throw pillow, they can do that. That's kind of funny.
And they ship it right to you. So I had to set up a PayPal account. So it happens. I have some tweak there. I can adjust how the pictures are spaced. There's so many products. Like some of them are funny that you can, like you can put them on. What was on there? I thought was kind of funny. Like socks. You can put them on socks. They have them on like water bottles. You know, those kind of backpacks that are just like a kind of like a bag with the string straps. You can put on that. They actually do have backpacks as well. So they have a ton of different. And when I put something into my portfolio, I then decide like what the different products you could put it on. So you have, and you can adjust the size and all that kind of stuff too. So
I think this is cool. I just see one of your things here. You could turn into a postcard.
Yeah. It'd be
cool if there was some decoded stuff that we could imagine if we could turn them into postcards.
Absolutely. But those ones, and you know, for you and me, like we'll figure out how to do that ourselves. You can go right to the artist for that and we'll figure it out. Right.
I've gotten in with the artist.
Yeah. You got the inside line, bro. You got the inside line. So yeah, just kind of mentioning that it's fun to do. And what's an interesting side part to this is my daughter. So one of the cool things you can do on Redbubble is you can put together collections. So the watercolor stuff that I'm messing with, there's a collection there. It says watercolor. So there's going to be a collection that pops up with Maddie's stuff on there. So that's cool. We talked about whether or not she would do her own store or if she just want to be a part of my store. So we'll start her on my store and then we'll see. It's a cool way to have a portfolio. And if people decide they want to purchase art pieces, they can too. So
very cool. Well, thanks for sharing that out.
Yeah. You're welcome. Off we go.
Off we go. Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome.